God, I pray that your spirit would remain in this place. It is a sweet feeling in here right now. And I believe that's because you're present. You're present here today, and we thank you for being here. Thank you for the just honor to be able to be in moments like this. You know, as I was talking with Libby, he said, who are we that we get to be a part of this? Who are we? Thank you. Thank you. God, as I speak and as we have some other people come up and talk as well, my prayer is that you would use all of what is said from this stage, that you would actually use these words to speak to all of our hearts. Because I know many of us in here are just a defining moment in our life. And we pray that today you would define that. Use what's said here today to grow us, to help us surrender, listen, and finally today to do it. And it's in the name of Jesus that all your people pray. Amen. Oh, man. Are we having fun yet? That's what I want to know. Are we having fun yet? My word. Well, you know, at the end of our time today, we're actually going to be taking up those commitment cards, 3-year commitments above and beyond kind of where we, what we currently give. And we have a great run at it with our leaders who got together 10 days ago. And based on, you know, how things go today, friends, we can nail this thing. We can completely nail this. We can deal with that building. We can. We can deal with that building. We can deal with the infrastructure to serve the poor in Cincinnati. We can deal with crazychurch.com, the AIDS hospice in South Africa. Not only that, but I really believe if we all bring our game today and we're really tuned into what God would have us do, week on top of that, nail Moser Dodge. As you know, we've got a contract on that, but we can't sign or close at all on anything until we know that we have the resources, maybe even chink away at some of our debt. I mean, this is an incredible day today. But it's not about those things. It really isn't. I just need to say that to say at least that's kind of what the commitment cards are going to be about, those things. But really what this is about is it's about what God is doing in all of our hearts, what's going on in this place today. And that's really one of my biggest fears is our church has gotten bigger. You know, our church was 11 people. And it was 11 people before I came. So I came into 11 people. You know, I could look at everybody eyeball to eyeball and say, hey, look, you know, we need to get real clear here on what we're about. And we're not playing church. And we're not just trying to kind of be the cool, neat church in the area. We were aggressively being about our friends who have given up on church but haven't necessarily given up on God. And we could get real personal on that level. And then as our church grew to 35, and then as our church grew to have our last campaign, there was this level of smallness where we all looked each other in the eyes, whether we were come to know Christ here or come from another church. By the way, before I do that anymore, I hope I don't lose my train of thought. Everyone take out your pen light, if you would. Take out your pen light, if you would. Don't do anything with it. Take out your pen light. In a moment, I'm going to ask the guys to get all the lights to go black that can possibly go black. And here's what I want you to do. This is actually kind of scary, but I'm just going to try it anyway. What I'd like you to do is, if since you have been part of this church, what God has done in this church, if you've come to a place through what God has done in this church to where you have given your life to Christ, where you have said, God, I want to be a follower of you. Or maybe if even right now you're not still in that place, maybe you're still a seeker, but something is starting to burn inside of you. Just for those of you who are in that place, just out of curiosity, because we've never really done this. If you're in a place, the first time God used this place to bring you to Him, or He is in the process of bringing you to Him, not those of us who have been Christ followers for a long time before His church started, but would you open up your light? Just do your light if you would. Look at that. Oh, man. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Here's another build. If this is like your first church home, like you got baptized someplace maybe a long time ago, you did weddings and funerals, you did that whole thing, you know, but like you come like 2, 3, maybe 4 Sundays a month to this church, it's like your first church involvement. I'm just curious, go ahead and I'd love to see where you look at that. That's incredible. All right. Oh man, isn't that great? Isn't that fun? Oh, that is so fun. All right, you at any point you can kind of give me Morse code if you want, you know. Brian, please shut up. Shut up. Shut up, you know. But anyway, back to what I was saying is, you were telling me to shut up. No, I'm not going to shut up. You will listen. You will sit there and you will listen. Who is that? Pat? Happy Gilmore? Is that who said that? Okay. But anyway, at different moments in our church's life, we were smaller in numbers, and therefore everyone sensed the urgency of the task at hand. This is one of the things I fear about our church as we get larger and larger, is we can now become just sort of a nameless or faceless entity, not being involved and not really feeling like anybody's talking to you. You're just one of the masses. A book I read a couple of years ago on my study break was called Tipping Point. And in this book, it talks about movements that do incredible things. It's really what our church is trying to be about. We're not an institution. We are not trying to be an institutionalized church. We are a church. We have an organizational structure. We're trying to be a movement, which is what God's people have always been that have had an impact. And in this book, The Tipping Point, they study all these different movements and what actually makes them tip and actually pervade and have an impact on the entire world. And one of the things that they mention is one of the things that keeps movements from tipping is that people believe that somebody else is going to step up. People believe basically in safety in numbers. There's a number of psychologists that studied New York City a number of years ago where there were these muggings and these crimes in the midst of groups of people, and nobody stood up and did anything. Everybody just watched what was going to happen. And so here's the book Tipping Point says from these psychologists. It says, when people are in a group, responsibility for acting is diffused. They assume that someone else will make the call. This group right here, I mean, I think we have 600 seats right in the center here. This is what we had at People's Middle School, People's Montessori, a number of years ago. And all of us, the people who represented there, we felt like someone needed to be able to stand on all our shoulders. Because we had stood on the 11 people's shoulders, the 35, and we felt someone needed to stand on all shoulders. And we really felt that sense of passion for that. And this is a moment for all of us in here as a church and as you personally. I think God's going to speak to all of us in a very unique way. But we cannot complete this journey if you think you're just going to sit there and you're going to blend into the masses and just see what happens. It's a great thing where God's a part of this place. We need to celebrate that. Two people who I've recently gotten to know, becoming friends of mine, are Byron and Vanessa White. And I've asked them to share us a little bit of their journey. Please welcome, wherever they are, Byron and Vanessa White. Byron and Vanessa have been, you've been a part of our church just for, well, you're going to find out a little bit, not long. And actually, Vanessa, you haven't been a part of the church, like, for any time at all. You're as infantile can be. Why is that? Talk about that.
I grew up in church. I was born into the church. And it was a very legalistic setting. And I've remained in the church, but I've had several not so fun experiences. In fact, I'm sitting here today, like, my heart's pounding, like, I'm 40 years old, and I'm having fun in church. It feels kind of funny.
It is cool. It is cool, huh? But you've had some major issues in your life, in your marriage. I'm just trying to fast forward through some of that stuff. You come to a place where church has sort of beat you up, and you kind of were unchurched or detached for a while. And what happened here?
We were living in Chicago for a while, and we moved back here, and I made a decision that, you know, I was really doing it out of motions. Like, I have 5 kids. I need to raise my kids in church because that's just what you do. You raise your kids in church. So we had started visiting churches, and I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I told Byron, you go find a church, you and the kids. This is my sabbatical. I get to stay home on Sunday mornings and be by myself. And our oldest daughter, who's kind of like the monster I created, she was kind of my anti-church child. I would even say, Byron, you better pray for her because she's going to turn out like me. And there was this one Sunday, and Byron called me and said, Vanessa, we're just going to hang out in the area because me and him and the other kids, and because Camille wanted to stay for yet a second service. And I'm like, who is this child? I better go check out Crossroads and see what this place is all about. And I did come one time, and I went into that little side room and got my donuts and coffee. And then I went back home. It's like, okay, cool. And I just kind of hung out still a little more, kind of checking it out and see what happens.
Now, it's so fun to watch right now because you are like beaming. You're beaming, and we're going to get into this in a minute. You have not been a beaming person for the majority of the last several months I've gotten together with you. No offense.
No.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to get in that moment. Recently, there's a tipping point, if you will, just kind of tipped inside of you and you as a couple, and actually happened at the leadership event. Take us back there about 10 days ago.
Well, we showed up at the leadership event. I think I knew it was related to the campaign. I'm not sure Vanessa did totally. But
free dinner. Free childcare.
You knew there was a commitment card. Vanessa didn't. She was...
I had been thinking about the campaign for a while, but quite honestly, the last couple of months have been very stressful times for us as a couple. we had not been clicking on anything. Conversations were hard to have. We're disagreeing on a lot of things. So it wasn't the time to, it didn't seem like the time to talk about the campaign and what we were going to do financially. But I had been thinking about it.
Because you're under financial stress as well.
That was a big part of it. And so I really did have in my mind an idea of what we might do that would push us, that would have us really focus on God, at least in this area, because we weren't really focusing on any area. And at the campaign, at the end, after we heard Erwin speak and so forth, I passed to Vanessa the commitment level that
I had already moved away from him, like on the other side.
the commitment level that I thought we should be contributing.
And
to
what did that represent? That so before well, we get to Vanessa's reaction.
We were talking about getting our tithing level to 10%. This was 10% of our gross income above and beyond that.
And you hadn't talked about this. You wrote down the number, slide it to you, and you're just fired up. You're excited about that then.
She
as Byron said, I clocked. I lost it. I was really angry. And like you said, we had, like even the past year, there were things that were, I couldn't even believe that like was going wrong. Like everything that could happen did, like the furnace breakdown, the car broke down, everything was going wrong. And we were like getting way, way behind. And so, and the other thing is Byron had taken over the bills because I had also taken a sabbatical from taking responsibility, any responsibility financially. And I was just beginning to get back involved and try to connect with him on getting our finances in order. And, I had even that week I had met with, a financial person from the ministry here, and one of the
dollars and cents,
and one of the first things she said was, "We need to meet together with your husband." I'm like, "Oh,
because you're really
darn.
Screwed up."
Yeah, so I'm like, "Okay," and so it's like we're having to connect on that. But in my mind, I knew. I mean, I saw that commitment card, and I'm thinking in my head, "This is how much I think you can give," and that did not match. I'm like, "You are crazy," and so we're. I'm like, "Fine." So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "I'm not doing this. You know, you're crazy." And I said, "You just go ahead. You do whatever you want to do. Here's one more thing that you're going to just, you know, manipulate me on. You just do whatever you want to do." And so I was leaving the room. We were walking out the room. He said, "That's okay. He's calm." He's like, we still have 10 more days. We don't have to do this today." And I'm like, "You turn that card in 10 days. We ain't doing nothing ever." You know, I was done. So then something just hit, and I'm looking at the door, and I'm like, if we walk out this room, you know, we will be done. I will be done with this. I'll be done with this thing. And I was like, how are you going to do this? We haven't even prayed. We don't even pray together. And so Byron said, fine, let's get some prayer. So
we looked down front. Brian Wells was standing down front, walked up to Brian and said, and what I asked was, I said, "Brian, we need to make a decision about this campaign. I wanted to pull us together rather than tear us apart." Mm-hmm. And he prayed a very short, simple, pointed prayer to that effect. And at that point, I was heading up to get the kids, and Vanessa was hanging around talking to
some folks. Back. I was trying to talk to somebody, and then I just kind of walked out the room, and I'm sitting in the lobby, and I'm just kind of looking like, and something surreal happened. I don't really know what it was, but in my mind, it was like, let him do this, you know, let him do this. And so I'm watching him go up the escalator, like, okay, when he comes back down, I'm just going to say it's fine. And he came back down, and I was like, "You go ahead, you can do it." And he looked at me like, "Yeah, right," you know. And he's like, "You're serious." And I'm like, "I really am. You can do it." And, I was like, "But if you do this, you're accountable." And he said, "No, this is the two of us, you know." And I was like, "Yeah, I understand that, you know." And I think since then, it's been. Yeah.
This has been a tipping point. Something broke in you. I was having fun with you before. I talked with you on the phone, seeing you today. You are a different person. As a couple here, there's something that happened in the last 10 days that you think was tied to that night, isn't there? Talk about
couple
that
things,
for a moment.
Yeah,
I think a couple things. More than anything, it just forced us to look for God working in something. And in this case happened to be money. Immediately after this, within the next week, we made some hard-nosed decisions about our finances and came to agreement about some debt reduction, an argument we've literally had for 2 years and just been unable to come to agreement. And we both just conceded on some things and said, "Yes, let's do that." And that's been a major.
And things actually broke for you financially in the last cut.
And, you know, that same week, I do some consulting, and I got a phone call from an area foundation asking me to do some work, which basically amounted to like a $4,000 contract. Just
And I was like, cha-ching. We're like, 4,000 down.
So I don't know if any of those things would not have happened had we not done it, but it was sort of noticing them happening.
Some affirmation.
And seeing that, yeah, you know, God really is doing stuff.
Financially. And
intimacy.
So,
yes.
Intimacy, or no. I mean, talking something, about something, not connect, yeah, I've used that term. A little something-something. So, more than a little something. More than a little something-something. Great something-something. So, I mean, that was an area that was really suffering.
That was...
Great something-something. So...
No. We're not just like having like we are having fun here, but this really is not just kind of cheap humor. This was this is something really happened with you, intimacy.
The conflict that we've had, obviously the connection in our intimate world was suffering, and this week we just had a very just connected. Just connected. So, upward, not. I'm having fun.
Hey, you know what? You guys have bared your heart and soul, and I just want to say, one of the things that's hard when someone comes up here, they get vulnerable. I said, look, when you guys come up here, thousands of people are going to be exactly like you, but they don't know, and you've kind of validated for thousands of us in here kind of some of the places where we are, but I just need to protect you for a minute. These guys are still in the midst of a lot of healing and recovery. You want to encourage them, but please... Don't come up to them and like look for personal counseling or any of that. They're here to share their story as if it's a small setting, and just please be sensitive to that in terms of anything you might say to them. But you guys have,
we're encouraged,
and you've encouraged us. Thanks, Byron and Vanessa, for coming up. I want to take a look at a passage in Scripture that I think many of us can identify with, or at least today we are going to identify with. It's one of the craziest financial offerings that's ever happened. From the book of Mark, chapter 14, 3-9. And Jesus is doing life and he's hanging out with some of his friends and other people who are around the fray. And let's take a look what happens. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman with an alabaster jar full of very expensive perfume made of pure nard, she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those presents were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, the money given to the poor, and they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. There's three things that are happening here that Jesus uses to validate this commitment and the sacrifice this woman has done. I don't know if you've ever kind of saved your best. I've saved my best before. Libby and I have both saved our best. We were just talking about this the other day. We were going through that prayer journal many of us have done that we were working through as a church, and it came upon this actual story. And we remembered how when people come over to our house, if we were having people over for dinner, some little party, oftentimes people bring over wine. And when they bring over wine, they always bring over better wine than we would ever buy, you know, because we're normally, if we buy wine, it's like Rioni Red or something like that. So they're bringing over this really nice wine. So what we do is we take this wine, we put it in this nice little rack right on the kitchen counter. And this one time we had a bunch of relatives come over, everyone's in the kitchen, people are using the counter space. So one relative had to take all of this wine and put it downstairs. And what do you know, she's taking this whole thing downstairs, she trips and she breaks all of the wine all over the floor. I don't know, there's about 6, 7, 8 bottles just smashed on our concrete floor. You know, interestingly enough, our first reaction was not, oh, you idiot, how could you break that? What was our first reaction? Why didn't we drink that earlier? That was our first reaction. Why don't we drink that earlier? Why don't we serve that to other people? But we're always thinking there's going to be a better time to really bring out the best. There's going to be a better time, and there never is a better time. And here we have a woman who brings out her best. And actually, she does three things that many of us need to consider today. She does this crazy thing in doing it. We're talking about surrender, listening, and doing it. She does something that's crazy, and it's linked to three things. Doing the crazy includes the lavish. The lavish. We should have drunk that wine, but for some reason we thought we had to save it. And she had this perfume that was worth a year's worth of wages. I don't know how she came to that money. I don't know what she did for a living, but she had a year's worth of wages in this bottle of perfume. And she sees Jesus and she is overcome and she wants to give him her best and bless him by breaking this bottle and uses what, about 12 ounces and just pours it all over him. And Jesus talking about what she did, he says this. He said, she did what she could. You know, what's lavish for me might not be lavish for you. What's lavish for you might not be lavish for me. But whatever is your best, that is what's lavish. Do you notice that the more money you make, it seems like when you give the same people gifts, in your mind you naturally think, well, gosh, I probably need to give them a more expensive gift than I did 5 years ago because now I have money. Am I the only one who's like that? You find that your gift giving kind of increments up based on how God has blessed you financially. It's a natural thing that's a part of us. We want to give those people who are very important to us something that is significant to us, but it looks different all the way along. I mean, for Libby right now, you know, Valentine's Day and doing prepackaged chocolates at Walgreens doesn't do it anymore, you know? She'd still be thankful for that, but it's obvious that I'm doing a cop-out just to stop in Walgreens and grab some prepackaged chocolates based on what God's doing in our place. Lavish is what is appropriate for you to be loving on who God is. Another thing that she does is she does something that is totally aggressive. Totally aggressive. Fact, the more you love something, the more barbaric you will get in how you express that love. The more you love something, the more barbaric you will get in how you express that love. I love what she's doing. I mean, you can just check out all these people around Jesus, and she comes up out of nowhere, takes this bottle, whack, breaks it, and just pours it all over his head. Goes all the way down his head, goes all the way down his body, and actually it's getting down to his feet, and she gets down with her hair and starts wiping his feet off with her hair. This is an aggressive, bold, loving move. And of course, what happens with people that don't really know that kind of love? What happens with people who don't really know the kind of love that she's giving to Jesus? Is you get very cynical and very pessimistic. And this happens all around. Everyone's looking at this going, what is that about? What is that about? In fact, they go to the standard line that everybody, the standard line that people give when they're threatened by somebody being lavish. Well, couldn't that money have gone to the poor? That's the standard line. I've heard that around here many times. I've heard it a lot for the last 8 years. I heard it before I came to Cincinnati. Jesus heard many times. Whenever somebody sees a bold, aggressive, barbaric move to make themselves feel better, they go, what about the poor? What about the poor? What are you doing? What are you doing? And these people start throwing jabs and barbs. They're interesting enough. One of the people who's the loudest on this is Judas. Judas happened to not be all that great of a guy. And he also managed the money. All he could see was perfume going all over the floor that should have been in his till. People who don't have a full love for Christ, a full love for God, we don't understand lavish, aggressive gifts. It is always easier to find out a reason why not to be aggressive and lavish and barbaric than to do it. But when God does something in your heart, it's this willing thing that you say, man, I might be crazy, I might look crazy, but I can't do anything else because God has done something unbelievable in my heart. And one of the reasons why she takes this moment is because she realized she has a rare opportunity. She has a rare opportunity to be with Christ. And I don't know that if she knows that he's going to die soon, but she recognizes it's a very rare moment. The book of Ephesians, it encourages all of us to take advantage of rare moments, rare opportunities. It says this in Ephesians chapter 5, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. You know, what Vanessa was talking about there, just kind of laughing here while we were in church, we just realized this is a very unique, incredible opportunity. You know what God would say to us? Be wise. Opportunities like this don't come around every day. Opportunities like this are very, very rare. And one of the ways that you are prone to be driven to do something out of a loving heart towards God when you realize there's a very rare moment that we're here. And Jesus knows this too. He knows this. I love what he says when he tells all these people, hey, look, the poor you're always going to have with you. You're going to always have that. This woman is loving me and doing something that's lavish and aggressive. And he says this about her. He says, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now, if you don't, you know, agree with the Bible, you're not sure that you really appreciate it yet. This is one of those things that should start your goosebumps kind of popping up on you. Jesus says exactly what's happened. 2,000 years later, we're sitting here in the midst of 5,000 people talking about the lavish, aggressive, opportune thing that Mary did. And that's the third thing. You do crazy things when you realize there's a moment of opportunity or opportune. I know some of us, I feel for you, you're sitting there like, gosh, you know, I want to be on the spiritual journey. I think I've surrendered. I think I've put all my stuff up on the table and done all that. And I've been listening. But before I do it, I'm not hearing God speak. I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing God give me a number. Like I talk with some of you here, God gave you a number. I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. It's never happened with me. And some of us in here are thinking, does God just not care about me, that he's not speaking to me the same way he seems to be speaking to others? I don't know that Mary ever had a dream where God spoke to her and said, Mary, take that Chanel number 5. Take the Chanel or Givenchy. What's the most expensive perfume out there right now? Good. No one knows. That's good. So take that Chanel number 5. Take that Givenchy or whatever it is. And I want you to break it on my son's head. Do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't say that. She might have had some vision like that and doesn't say that. She just kind of says, man, this just makes sense. Maybe crazy, but given what God has done in my life for giving me the number of things he's done, this just makes sense. So kind of lavish, aggressive, opportune, I'm going to get on this. I'm going to do this. And this is something all of us have inside of us, is we need to be a part of what God's doing. My youngest daughter, Mariah, she helps me around the house when I'm doing stuff. And she does this weird thing. It's like if I'm building something and I have one of the kids go and get me a tool, she sees that they're getting the tool and she goes, I want the tool. She gets all upset. And of course, the other, her brother and sister, they find out she's upset. That means they like seeing her upset. So they continue to do exactly what they have been doing, which in this case means giving me the tool or the Pepsi or something like that. So they bring it and give it to me and she's all upset. Oh, I wanted that. She gets all upset because she wanted help. And so it's so funny. Like if I have my kids give me a pen, they'll give me this pen. I wanted to get it for daddy. I said, you want to give this? Yeah. So I hand it right to her and she goes, and then she hands it right back to me. I go, thank you for Mariah. And she goes, eh. And she walks away all happy. It's the weirdest thing. It's so funny. And here's what's happening there. You know what it is? Mariah, as a child, is just like all of us are as children of God. We need to be involved in our Father's work. God doesn't need us. God does not. If you think that God needs you to fill out some fat number and stick it in the boxes, think again. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. God needs nothing. God is fully sufficient in himself in every way, shape, or form. He does not need us. But we need to be involved in his work. That's what God does. He involves us in his work because that is his primary spiritual formation tool. That is a tool he uses. We need this. And what God does in our lives is he keeps ramping up the challenge levels in all of our lives, whatever it is, relational challenge, occupational challenge, financial challenge. He ramps it up to see in the midst of his work whether or not we will partner with him in his work because there's something special that happens inside of us when that happens. And that's the way many of us are here today. I want to invite the band to come up for a moment. And as they're coming up, we're gonna in a moment walk through some of the commitment cards. But there's an interesting thing that happened to me a few weeks ago that I think many of us will connect with on this. I went to spring break and took kids away to some place down south. Normally haven't done that, did it this time. And we were playing baseball, took baseball gloves. And after a while, when you're playing catch on the flat, it gets kind of boring. So I'm always like, okay, what else can we do that's cool? So I'm looking around and I see the condo where we're staying, and the high rise condo. And I said, hey, why don't we go up and throw the ball off of the balcony and we'll catch the ball off the balcony. I said, yeah, that's great, Dad, that's good. So, you know, we go up and we get this, we were on the seventh floor, and I looked at the seventh floor. I was like, I mean, this is a little too high. Let's start down at the first floor and let's jump a few floors every single day. And so we did that, and by the end, well, actually, I think it was on the sixth floor, one of my kids missed the ball and it conked him on the head. It was a beautiful sight, really. An incredible sight how this thing happened. Please don't call children's services on me after today. I mean, if you are a social worker, actually, I'm telling a story about somebody else. It's really not me. So we would do this thing, and it was a fascinating thing because you could see every level that we went up, you could see my kids' confidence in their fly ball catching ability come through. And so by the time it gets to be like on the 15th floor, on the 15th floor, and you got this little kid, he's a little cicada down there, just waiting on, which by the way, I always got stuck on this Y2 cicada. I haven't seen any cicada, no cicadas are swarming around me, but anyway, they're like these little cicadas that are down there, and I've got this ball, and they're looking around trying to make sure no one's coming, you throw this ball, and they catch the ball. And then when they miss it, they've got to come all the way around to the elevator and like elevate the ball all the way back up. You could see like other kids who are watching what this happened, and they're like with their dads are going, can we do that? And dad's like, no, can't do that. No, you could see this. And every like kid in the whole complex wanted to have me as their dad, which I can expect. I can totally understand that. But you know what it was with those kids? You know what it was with those kids? You know what it was? I think, as some of those kids I saw in the elevator, I think what it was is I think they were very intrigued by the level of confidence that I was placing in my kids, that they could catch a ball coming down 15 floors. In fact, aerodynamically speaking, That ball wasn't traveling any faster on floor 5 than it was on floor 15. It's in the mind. And that's what God does. He puts us in situations where it's all God's resources. It's all God's stuff. But he puts us in situations like right now to see if we want to play ball with him, to see if we will partner with him in his work. Go ahead and take out your commitment cards. We're not going to do anything with these right now. I'm just going to show you what we're going to do, and then we're going to have a time, one last time, to hear what God might say to us. Flip it over from the side that you have not filled out. This is the number part. Here's what we're going to do with this. You're going to put up here a number, which is the total amount above and beyond your normal giving that you're going to do for 3 years. However you're going to do that, that doesn't matter right now. You're just going to put down what that number is. Then if you're doing monthly, we're really encouraging people, if God has led you to do something that's going to be monthly, Libby and I are doing something monthly, we're also going to be doing e-gift. Because if God's leading us to do that, he's leading us to fulfill it. And there's no easier, better way to do it than e-gift. If you don't want to do e-gift, that's fine. Just something you might want to think about. If you're giving today, we're encouraging everybody to make a generous financial offering today. Just put the amount that is already in the big number right there. The amount that's already in the big number right there. If you're going to be doing stock transfers, if you're going to do that, it's a great way to kind of overcome capital gains tax and stuff like that. Then you put that there. If you're going to do that, and you check that. And then if there's any other instructions, you can put that here for multiple giving statements or whatever. And if you're at the leadership event, a lot of people said, man, you know, I felt God's doing something different for me. Can I return in another one? Yes, you can. In fact, we're asking everybody, if you've already done one leadership event and your number's still right where it is, that's fine. Participate in all this with all of us. It'll help us tally the number when we announce it in a little bit to actually look at that later. Just pulled up in the parking lot this morning about 7 o'clock with my son. And just had this wave of emotion hit me. I don't know if it was the magnitude of the moment, or I don't know if God's spirit has been hovering over the parking lot and just kind of invaded the vents of my air conditioning and came in the car. Some of you felt that when you came in here. You just felt something in around here. That is not your emotions that's happening. That's God in this place. That's God in you. That's God asking all of us whether or not we want to play ball with him, whether or not we want to be a part of his work, or whether or not we will be lavish, aggressive, and take advantage of this opportunity and actually do it. Before you fill out anything, I want to go before God one more time and to be silent and speak. And if you're here with a spouse, you might want to hold their hand. Just make sure that we don't have another blow up that happened with Vanessa and Byron. They were here to model some things for us. But I want to set the stage very clear here before we do this. This moment never comes again. Never comes again. Never. This is the only moment this happens for you. These moments are very rare. And this is right now where we figure out whether or not we're still going to be a movement that God uses, or just be a big church, which if that's what we're going to do, is be a big church, I'm out. I ain't about that. We're about being a part of what God is doing and moving in all of our hearts and lives. Let's go before God in a sense of silence one more time and listen what he might want from us in that moment. God, would you speak? Would you speak? You know, one of the things that we've tried to do is to not really give specific numbers. We've given percentages. The leadership event, somebody gave a number because we thought that was important. But one of the things, since we didn't do this fair share thing, we didn't do this fair share thing where we said, okay, this is it, blank, is that the downside of that is God would have some of you give a crazy amount of money, but because we haven't said that number, you haven't felt validated. Sometimes until somebody speaks something, we don't think that that actually could be God. And I'll tell you right now, and I'm not in fundraising mode, I'm in, this is what the Spirit is saying to some of us mode. There's many of us in here, really, who are, God's whispering is like, you know what, it's double that. It's double. Some of us in here, you know, you've been playing around with little numbers because you really haven't honored God in this process. And there's numbers like 50. 100. Those are not crazy numbers, and that's what God is telling you. You would not imagine the sacrifice and the commitments that have happened so far to get us to where we are today. Don't sell yourself short. Let's do this song, Good to Me. One of the things that we're compelled to give out of is we realize how good God is to us. How good he is to us. Let's sing this song together. You know, one of the things that Jesus often did was he just said, we need to be more like children. Be more like children. I don't know if you saw this little cute guy that came up. I was going to have him on my lap. He started getting freaked out. I'm glad he did, you know. Because, you know, well, I'm not glad he did, but he went back down to his parents. But this little guy did like probably the most lavish, aggressive move in here. He got up this morning. His parents were just telling me. Got up this morning and said, what are we doing today? And the parents said, well, we're going to church because we're going to give money and to have an impact. And he said, well, I can give. And this little guy went and gave me his whole piggy bank. His whole thing. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? This is the most God-honoring, lavish, aggressive gift in this whole place. Right here. And it really is not about the size of the commitment. It's about the size of the heart. And it's what we do with what God has blessed us with. And it's awesome. God, thank you for the spirit in our church. It doesn't matter if we're 3500 Madison or the Cintas Center. The sense of community here is just a wonderful thing, and I thank you for times like this. And I pray that for everybody who is in here, that you would just bring your spirit of affirmation upon them. Just bring your spirit of affirmation. They'll feel your affirmation. But at the same time, there could be people in here who need to make another trip down here. Just speak to them. Speak to them. Bring us all to a place of cheerfulness. So we've surrendered, listened, and done it. God, I know many of us we kind of have this this giddiness about us, but also this fear. We're in the midst of this uncomfortable, cheerful, wow, God, what are you doing here? And that is a great place to be, where we just feel sort of as these raw beings that are before you. God, help us remember that no matter what we give, no matter what else that you give us, what we have is enough. It's enough. What you have given us is enough. The church you've given us, the friends that you've given us, the jobs that you've given us, or the ability to meet our basic needs while we're in between jobs. Whatever you have given us, it's enough. And it's enough because it's nothing compared to you giving your son Jesus to us. Thank you for him. Thank you for the grace and mercy and patience you've had with us. God, help us remember over the next 3 years that is enough. No matter what financial sacrifices we may be making or things that we may be going without, you're enough. You are enough. And maybe that's one of the things you're going to teach us in the next 3 years. Well, I know you're all wondering about a number. I know. Do you, right or not? Yes. So it's time to talk about what the number of cicadas were in that container over there. That's why we have Kyle here. Let's see, we have a great, and we're doing this right now because for the rest of our little wrap-up time, you get to win a private luxury box for the rest of our day right back there. So Kyle is going to take you up there in your luxury box to enjoy this time. Right, Kyle?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, first of all, the number, the actual number of those cicadas, only 329 of us guessed. The actual number was 1,582. And the winner at 1,580 is Scott and Kristen Dawson. Where are they? Come up, run. Scott and Kristen, where are you? Scott and Kristen Dawson. You must be here. Go! Let's go! Go! Take them on up. All right, Kyle, take them up. Take them up that luxury box. Make sure. Oh, there you go. And a special little T-shirt. Recommend. Hey, first of all, you know the other thing is, it's amazing. Yes. You know, everybody, all of you are to be commended to be here. Don't you have any place better to be on a Sunday afternoon than right here? My word. Actually, you know, that's one of the, just the awesome things about who God has assembled to be part of our church. The level of passion and interest to be here is just awesome. Okay. So now I want to do a little revisit from the personal contact meeting that many of us did, just to take a look at what the actual goal, or not the goal, what the project looks like. We didn't talk about this in the midst of the weekend services because we really wanted to keep logistics safe for the personal contact meeting. But I want to just give us a little more perspective for the number we are going to announce. As you know, what we took a look at with this project is not how much that we thought we could raise. It was what we thought God wanted us to do. We said that in every single personal contact meeting. The experts who came in and took a look at our books, they said, you know, you can raise probably 12, 13, 14 million in 3-year commitments above and beyond where we are. We said, well, that kind of doesn't work because that isn't what God wants us to do. And this is what we took a look at with the personal contact meeting. It's a broad overview on this again. We talked about $250,000 for the AIDS Hospice Mortuary Center. $250,000 put in escrow for when we deal with the right infrastructure for serving the poor in our city. $100,000 for crazychurch.com. $19 million for the full build out at 3500 Madison. And then all the furniture, furnishings, AV systems all throughout the whole building, about $3 million. And we said all along that don't hold us to anything because some of these numbers change. And these are pretty solid, but this is the best we have right now. So that is actually what we really felt that God was calling and wanting us to do in the midst of this crazy campaign. And we were all going on a spiritual journey to see how, you know, where we would be on that personally from what God was doing with us. So with that, I want to turn over this to Cindy Weininger and Tanya Hyatt, who have been our leaders on this whole front. Cindy on a staff perspective, and terrible Tanya from the killer volunteer leader perspective. So I'm just going to step the back and let you guys go from here. Is that okay?
All right.
And then if you mess up, then I'll come forward and like tell you messed up. Okay, yeah. Is that right?
Brian, do you know the number?
Maybe.
See?
Possibly.
What do y'all think? Does Brian know the number?
Yeah.
All right. Is everybody excited? We are too. Ready?
Let's go.
You're up. Go, Betty. Wait, Steve, hang on.
Hold up.
All right, here we go. All right, the grand total is 20. Go, 24 million for 123,235.40.
Unbelievable. $24 million freaking dollars. That's right. That's what it is. Oh, my. Oh, that's phenomenal. Utterly phenomenal. A couple of housekeeping things. First of all, we do still have money that is trickling in. We actually had a couple of commitment cards came in right after we had the final one. And so those aren't added in here. We know that there's going to be a number of others that are going to come in over the next week. People out of town, other people that God might have spoken something differently to. So this number is, you know, likely going to change for the upper, probably, over the next week. And so we're going to take a look at how all that's going to shake out. Also, some of you go, what about Moser Dodge? Well, don't know. We need like a week to just kind of figure out how all this is trickling together and see how all this fit. We actually might need more than a week. So we have a lot of week this week to try to figure all that stuff out. The fact of the matter, though, is that we said it's a spiritual journey, and God has shown up in a major, major way in the midst of this place, hasn't he? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What's next? That's it?
Are free to head for home and keep celebrating. The band's going to kick in with a little
more music. Well, let's pray before they leave. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you pray for them? Let's close
it. Okay. I'd like to. Father, thank you so much for this unbelievable number that represents the lives of the people in this room and so many others who are willing to just come before you and change their lives, change their way of living, change their desires and wants in order to honor you. And so, Lord, we celebrate you through this number. It is to your glory and to your goodness, and may all that we do with it as a church and as a community to change the world be in your honor. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Have a great week. Get out of here. See you next weekend.